of the same old sports media? Are you tired of hot takes, arguments, and questions that are just completely off base?
Luckily, we have something for you. Touchdowns and Tangents. Of the people, for the people, by people, who care about the culture and all its concise commentary.
What's up, good people? Live from my cos, it's your Thursday night spot for NFL takes, topical tangents, and culturally concise commentary. I'm Pete DiCamarillo, and he is...
Kenneth Frank Barry.
And we're only 5 minutes late, and I'm a much better man GM than Kenny, so we can just start with that.
The algorithm is racist.
All I'm saying is...
Towards black QB...
We simulated...
Deshaun Watson is my QB. I feel like that's why my algorithm is being held against me, personally.
But personally, yeah, so if you've been keeping up with the show, basically me and Kenny did a fantasy draft a couple weeks ago. This week, we basically simulated to the playoffs. My team made the playoffs all six simulations. Kenny's only made the playoffs twice.
Keep in mind,
of those six times... My team went 15-2 twice,
16-1,
16-1, and 14-3.
Now, twice. I just want to point out, he's not telling you that he plays with the Raiders and they're in the AFC West and the Chiefs.
Oh my God, the
Mahomes
Chargers
isn't on the Chiefs.
The Chargers made the playoffs.
Literally, none of the Chiefs' best players are on the Chiefs in this fantasy draft, and the Broncos are trash. The Chargers somehow made the playoffs. But, like, the AFC is much, like, there's two really great teams. Everybody else is trash. NFC, I just happen to be in the NFC West, which is, like, the most top-heavy division.
Yeah, and those four.
And injuries didn't help either.
In those four times he didn't make the playoffs, he was, like, 8-9, 7-10, and, like, 6-11 with an overall 90 rating.
With a 93 offense and an 89 defense.
And still not ranked in the
losing
top
to the Houston Texans, which had the Texans had an 80 offense and an 87 defense. Explain to me how I'm losing to them.
But anyways, in this iteration of our Madden
Seahawks
multiverse,
have fucking Carson Wentz as a 73, bro.
In this iteration of our multiverse, we're both in the title games. I'm playing this stacked ass Bills team that's like
with Lamar Jackson, the left hand of God. Infinity Gauntlet, Thor with Stormbreaker and Mjolnir, and I'm playing against the Bears, who are trash, and they have DeAndre Hopkins.
Again, damn, that's who you were playing against in the first playoff iteration.
Yeah.
You got to go into Chicago?
The Bears.
Or you got
to... I went in the Lambeau and won, so...
Oh, wow. That's a good omen.
Mahomes threw four picks. I changed up my offensive scheme.
Oh, so
I
then the Bears are coming to you, then, if you went to Green Bay.
I'm 12-5, yeah. They're 10-7, but yeah, I was like looking at the offensive scheme, and you know, like it says like compatibility or whatever, and it was like at 84% the offense I was running, so I switched the playbook because I was like, well, this playbook is clearly useless. Like it's like dink and dunk. It was like Arizona's playbook, so I was like, all right, let me switch it up because honestly.
So you switched it back to the Rams?
Nah, the Rams one is even worse. That's why I had to change it. I switched it to, like, Andy Reid's playbook, I think.
So what are you saying?
He takes deep shots, but he also runs the ball with emphasis.
Well, what's your point?
Pretty much, sometimes it's just a scheme. You have the players you need, so you're just a scheme. I kept the defense, though. It's the Bill Belichick defense. It's the 3-4 with the 4. No, I changed that, too. I changed it to San Francisco's defense, where it's a 4-3. With like a 4-4 package and like a defensive line emphasis. Like the defensive line gets all the pressure. Because I don't need to be blitzing any of my linebackers. All their coverage, like all of them are in the 80s now. Shout out to Isaiah Simmons, Devin Bush, and Devin White. Imagine just if those four, if those three guys were your linebackers on your
all
team.
All I know is I'm not worried about any three of those guys tackling Joe Mixon in the Super Bowl.
That's fine. I'm worried about pass coverage.
98 overall Joe Mixon, by the way.
Hey, bro, you had one run. And then Mixon didn't do shit else.
Bro, what are you talking about? He was averaging like 8 yards a carry.
And he wasn't doing shit else.
Okay.
He didn't do shit else.
Okay. Anyways.
That wide whiffed on the touchdown, he didn't do shit else.
Okay. Whatever you say, sir.
No, all like, right. those touchdowns were painful. Like, he scored like 3 times. Like,
at one point, some broken defense was scoring on you.
I just mad, like, I had everybody back deep because you kept fucking throwing. You kept throwing deep to Devontae Adams, and I kept picking it off. And then the one time I'm in, like, a fucking zone defense, like a cover 3, this motherfucker throws a screen pass, and he just takes it 60 yards to the house. I was so mad. I was so upset. I traded McCourty after that.
Let's talk about it.
Shout out to Marshawn Lattimore.
All right, so this week, we got a little bit of news to talk about. Some bits of a downers. So go ahead, Kenny. A
lot of RIPs.
Go ahead.
Rest in peace, former first round pick in Jackson State alum. Zoomtide. Sorry.
Did he just bless himself? Can he do that?
I bless the
God.
Universe. I bless the universe.
God, man. Can he do that?
Yeah. He didn't say I couldn't. Thou shalt bless the homies. Thou shalt bless thine self. Yo, that's honestly, the title. God might just kick me in the nuts in a dream. Just wake up screaming in the middle of the night like, oh, shit. My bad. I won't make so many religious jokes. All right. So, yeah. Rashard Anderson. He was the 23rd overall pick by the Carolina Panthers in the year 2000. Out of Jackson State. He's in their Hall of Fame. He died at 45. He was only in the league 2 years. He had 75 tackles. He wore number 46. Mm. But he had like the high sock swag and the double armbands. So I saw a picture. It was kind of cool. But like 46 is a trash number for a corner. You got to wear 40. You're going to be a safety and wear 46 like Chris Harris. Mm. 45 would be preferable. 45 you can get away with. 39 is low-key a hard number for a DB. 37 is elite. 36 is elite. 38 is a no-go. That's a fullback number. But, yeah, so he was out of the league after 3 years. Had some drug issues that he had to work out. But everybody loved him. He was a positive, beautiful person. You know, everybody has their demons, but he was, like, people spoke so highly of him at Jackson State that, like, it was like, damn, like, the fact that it made national news so quick, it's like, oh, wow. And he was a former first-round pick. Demaryius Thomas had stage 2 CTE, which triggered his heart attack. Triggered his heart attack. Or I guess, wasn't he found in the shower?
So, yeah,
he had a heart attack in the shower, but, yeah. That's stage 2 CTE is like really that's really bad.
Basically his brain was a lot older than his body.
Imagine like if I took a potato and hit part of it with a hammer.
Wouldn't go that far.
And then warmed it up.
Wow.
Oh, like if your brain can cause you to have a heart attack, that means you have irreversible damage.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's equivalent to, like, some almost a form of being in a coma, that kind of brain trauma where they have to, like, medically comatose you so you don't die. And it's just unfortunate that he had that much head injuries and that much trauma. Marion Barber, his cause of death, he died of a heat stroke in his apartment at 38. Heat strokes can have killed many of people. We're perfectly healthy. High school athletes in California, a lot of them have died from that. Corey Stringer was the most notable NFL player to die from a heat stroke off that Vikings team that went to the NFC title game and went like 15-1, set all those records. Heat strokes are real. Stay hydrated. Please drink a lot of water. You may think you're not needed, but drink water, especially if you live in like Texas or the South, like, you have to stay hydrated. It's not really an option. And sometimes you think you're fine. Like, yeah, I'll drink some orange juice. I drink some cranberry juice. My blood sugar's up. But if your sugar's too high and the salt, you don't have, you have too much salt in your blood, that's a bad combination. Like, water kind of drowns out the salt in your body, kind of levels you out. So just keep in mind. Also, rest in peace to former Oregon tight end Spencer Webb. He was from Sacramento. He died in like a diving accident. He hit his head on like the side of a cliff. Unfortunately, lost his life. Has like an epic touchdown catch against Auburn when Oregon went down to Auburn. They lost. I think they lost, but like, yeah, they lost that game. But like, he had like an amazing. He mossed a dude in the end zone. Justin Herbert was throwing on the other side of his body, the other side of the field, and that's what straight up mossed the dude. And like, there's some social media influencers who were talking about how like they worked with him and he was a really nice person, and it's just really sad to see how that went. I mean, he's only 22. Man, all you young people out there, you wanna be adventurous, just be safe. Like,
yeah,
be safe, especially if you're diving off anything. Like, just be safe. Mitchell Schwartz, former All-Pro right tackle,
retired
after 9 years, had some injuries. His brother, Super Bowl with the Giants, Jeff Schwartz, he played at Oregon. And yeah, two brothers played in the NFL. Mitchell Schwartz went to Cal, became All-Pro right tackle, and retired after 9 years. That's a hell of a career. And he got a Super Bowl out of it.
With the Chiefs.
Yep. So that's indeed dope for sure.
All right, college football. It's been a crazy couple weeks.
Oh, yes, indeed. Big 12 media down. And boy, oh boy, Mr. Mullet himself. Oklahoma State Cowboys head coach Mike Gundy, who's been there forever.
I kind of, it's crazy to me that he's still there. But go ahead.
I mean, who else are they going to? Who else are they going to
I mean,
get?
They put players in the league.
Yeah, they do, for sure. They got an All-American defensive end coming back, too. So, you know. But new Big 12 commissioner Brett Yormack, who was former COO at Roc Nation, he's like, the Big 12 is going to be hipper. Get ready to get the league ready for its next big media deal. I'm telling you. The Big 12 going to be a game changer. That dude worked on Roc Nation. He knows what he's doing. And he's like, Big 12 is open for business.
Bro, you really need to stop yawning.
I can't help it. I don't know why I'm yawning. I'm not tired. I'm not even tired. I'm really not. I'm not tired at all.
Okay.
Whoops. It'd be weird. Like, I don't even,
mentally, you're not, but clearly your body is.
Not like, yeah. It's just weak. But, yeah, so Mike Gundy was like, why the hell is Texas here? Why, like, they're leaving the conference. Why are they even here? Why are they allowed to even take part in conference issues? This ain't their conference no more. Them at Oklahoma. Candid about that. Pretty much the Big 12 is going to be built around Oklahoma State, Baylor, brought in the four teams, Cincinnati, BYU, Houston, UCF. So,
I mean, it makes sense. Like, if you're not in the clique anymore,
why are you here, bro? You leaving. It's like, if I put it, it's like,
let me fuck some shit up on my way out.
It's like I put in my 2-week notice, but I didn't really need to put in my 2-week notice. I could have just like quit the job.
Well, it's a 2-year notice. Basically.
So it's like, if you're already working on SEC stuff, yeah, why are you still here? That's insider. That's now you're gonna take all these this news and negotiating tactics or whatever to the SEC and leverage it to help yourself. You shouldn't even be allowed at these
meetings.
The
Pac-12 media day is going to be a shit show.
I want to go to that. I want to go to that so bad, bro. And the Mountain West one. It's a mountain, like, for real. I hope they have it in L.A., but it's probably going to be in Santa Clara. But I hope they have it in L.A. I'm manifesting that now. I'm going to the Pac-12 media day.
No comments.
This might be the last one ever.
Yeah, for sure. Might be. But, all right. Continue.
So, yeah, my gunny was going off, so that was kind of beautiful. So, Vince Young said that playing at Texas is like being an NFL quarterback in regards to, like, Arch Manning committing to Texas.
Except for they haven't had an NFL quarterback since Vince Young? I don't count Colt McCoy.
Or Garrett Gilbert, because he transferred to SMU.
Yeah, and not just that, but a lot of people are saying if Manning's last name was Smith, he'd be a 3-star.
Oh yeah, they said that like if his name was anything else but Manning, he'd be a highly touted 3-star recruit. And honestly, kind of prone to believe it. Hmm. Like he's only getting the rub because his last name is Manning. And he's so good. You know, it is what it is. So, the horns down penalty. All right, no. Shit, I kind of jumped the gun on that one. I'll wait on that one. But yeah, the Big 12, pretty much they're on their way to becoming a cooler conference. The SEC is going to stay at 16 teams. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it right now for college football. There's some things that are kind of up in the air. We already talked about the PC3 and, you know, fashioned Pac-12 football and whatnot. So, yeah, pretty much it for college football.
All right, moving on.
Oh, yeah, Baylor's picked to finish first in the Big 12. First time ever.
All right, first up, take a tangent. Jalen Ramsey said his first 6 years are better than any DB ever. Take or tangent on that.
It's interesting because Richard Sherman hopped in there and said, you're not the only one who has a claim to that. Me, Patrick Peterson. There's a lot of guys who first six years were goated. And I got a ring, too. Should have had two, if I'm being honest. Probably could have had three.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. I think the thing with that, though, is it's such a passing league now. And there's so many great receivers across the board. I mean, every team almost has 1, 2, or 3 versus back in the day. That wasn't the case at all. But I don't know because Ramsey does get cooked sometimes, and he also is playing with one of the greatest defensive players ever, period.
Like a whole pass rush in front of him.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'll say 50-50. I mean, and even when he was in Jacksonville, the defense wasn't bad. Like, I haven't seen him on a shitty
defense.
They were
one game away from the Super Bowl.
So, I don't know. He's definitely in the conversation, but yeah, I wouldn't say the best ever.
Because Deion's the best ever. We know that, right? So, even if your 6 years is cool, but like, what, Jalen Ramsey has 15 career interceptions? So, we're just going to ignore Xavier Howard? Mm. Didn't he have 10 picks like twice? Like, we're going to ignore Marcus Peters? Like, just because a dude didn't win a Super Bowl doesn't mean he's not goated. Dan Marino's better than a lot of QBs who have Super Bowl rings that are going to go in the Hall of Fame one day. Dan Marino's better than Ben Roethlisberger.
I don't know about that.
Are you on drugs?
I don't know about that.
Are you on drugs, sir? Are you on drugs?
I don't know about that, sir.
Do you know how bad he played in two out of the three Super Bowls he was in?
Who, Ben Roethlisberger?
Yes.
Who? What was the third Super Bowl?
Arizona, yes. Green Bay, Seattle.
They didn't play Seattle.
They played Seattle.
They did not play Seattle in the Super Bowl.
Yes, they did. The Steelers played the Seattle Seahawks. That's how Jerome Bettis got his first ring, because they won in Detroit, which was his hometown, and he retired in Detroit. Ben Roethlisberger played like shit.
I guess you're right. Why do I not remember that at all?
Because Matt Hasselbeck was a QB.
No, I remember that. I remember the team. I remember the Seahawks. I don't remember them playing the Steelers.
That's when Hyde Ward caught that touchdown. I think he won MVP. Because Antoine Wendell threw a deep pass on a trick play. And then Willie Parker went 75 yards for a touchdown. And then the Arizona game was Ben Roethlisberger's best game ever as a QB. Because he threw that amazing touchdown catch in the back of the end zone to Santonio Holmes.
Why did I totally forget about that game? And the Steelers defense
got exposed. And then the Green Bay game got outclassed by Aaron Rodgers.
Damn, so he really went to three Super Bowls in 6 years.
Well, 2010. And you're over
here trying to say he sucks.
No, I said he's not better than Dan Marino, because Dan Marino would have won all three of those games. Mm. On his bro, he won Rookie of the Year.
And Roethlisberger was irrelevant for another like 8 years they after went that.
15-1 his rookie year, and it had that was Roethlisberger.
What, Roethlisberger only had what, one losing season? Maybe. Whole career?
I mean, if you don't count injuries, maybe one. And I was under Bill Cowher.
But yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
But I'm telling you, on like no, pound for pound, Dan Marino had the greatest rookie year of all time. It's not even close. Ja'Marr Chase, you can compare that, but even then, he set the touchdown record, didn't he, as a rookie?
I think
was it the second year?
He set a bunch of records. Like, Marino had a bunch of records for a long time.
He was cold as a rookie and his first year. His first year and his second year. So if you put Dan Marino as a rookie on the Pittsburgh Steelers, they might go 16-0.
All right, next one. Zach Wilson, Milfgate. I'll let you explain that.
Yo, so his former best friend, Dax Milne, I don't know how to say his last name. But he was a receiver at BYU, one of Zach Wilson's favorite targets. And ironically, his ex-girlfriend, Zach Wilson's ex-girlfriend, became a favorite target of his former receiver and former best friend, apparently.
Not surprised.
So, former receiver hooks up with ex-girlfriend of Zach Wilson, but the ex-girlfriend says she's not a homie hopper. Zach Wilson is, because Zach Wilson fucked that dude's mom, allegedly. And NFL players were ablaze because of it. Memes, especially on TDT, especially on our Instagram account. He is Mormon, and his last name is Capone, so you know what Mormons do. I'm just saying, it's Utah. Them Utah MILFs are a little bit different. But apparently he smashed his homie's mom. No, he smashed his mother's best friend.
All right.
So, yeah. And then he comes back. He's like, oh, I didn't have any phone cell service this weekend. I was out throwing it with the boys. And he was throwing it with Ohio State receiver, a bunch of different receivers on his own team. And I'm just like, that's, you know what? I like Zach Wilson. I think he can work out with as the Jets. I like his moxie. He got to get a 20-point Madden rating for awareness if he really out here taking down MILFs. And that's why his girl left him, because he smashed his mom's best friend. Like, that's That's amazing. But yeah.
And they trauma bonded over it and got together after that.
And now he's just living his best life. He won. I've
been thinking about them.
He totally won.
All right, next up for me, Lamar Jackson and the beef he had this week. Who was it with again?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to put that on the rundown. Bernard Pollard.
There you go, Bernard Pollard.
Former Purdue standout, former Houston Texan, former Kansas City Chief, former Baltimore Raven. Probably some other stuff, too. But, yeah.
So, basically...
he said... Are you going?
Well, because Lamar Jackson got left out of the ESPN top 10 rankings, which in itself is dumb.
Really stupid.
I think Lamar's the only player to ever unanimously win an MVP.
And he led the league in touchdown passes his second. His first full year as a starter, which was his second year in the league.
Anyways.
And so has multiple 1,000-yard rushing seasons, which is a record.
But, yeah, basically Bernard Pollard was like, no receivers want to go to Baltimore. They don't want to stay there. They don't want to play with Lamar Jackson. He can't make the throws, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's plenty of free agents still out there who've thought about it, and they just haven't gone because they don't want to play with him. And Lamar was like, basically, like, who are you again, buddy? Like, I had to Google you. I don't even know who you are.
Didn't know you existed until just now.
And then Pollard came back and was like, please call me champ. You got to get one yourself. And then he was like, dog, you had two tackles in the Super Bowl. Were either of them impactful? You want to ring with Ed Reed and Reg Lewis. Like, chill. And then basically...
They got you that ring.
And then Lamar's fans came in and were like, I'd like to see Buddy try to tackle you once. And he'd be like, he'd get cut on sight.
You would.
So, yeah, pretty much Lamar Jackson coming for everyone. Take your tangent on that, Kenny.
Lamar Jackson got diesel this offseason.
Pretty much, man.
Like, he got yoked, so I think his throw power needs to go up in Madden. Y'all better stop playing with that, man. He's going to make $23 million on the last year of his rookie deal, and he wants a whole new contract.
I just think he's finally becoming his true self. He's already proved himself as a quarterback. He's proved himself as an elite playmaker. Like, he came in the league as kind of a quiet, more self-spoken guy, and now you're starting to see more of his personality. And I think that could be the next step for him.
And people got to admit, if he was white and did all this, you'd call him God. If he was white, if he was Zach Wilson's skin complexion and background, didn't have gold teeth, if he was purely white as snow, or whatever you want to call it, and he had the stats he had, people would be calling him God. Because it's a society, for some reason, we put white people on a pedestal, in particular white men. But in sports, especially football and basketball and track, we all know who the best athletes are, who the best players are. It's not even really close or an argument. Like, people say, oh, yeah, Brady's a GOAT, but if there's a draft, Brady's still probably going to go in the sixth round.
You know,
I'm taking prime Gale Sayers over Tom Brady any fucking day. I'll take Ray Lewis over Gale Sayers. I mean, I'll take Ray Lewis over Tom Brady. Like, Patrick Willis in his prime. Randy Moss in his prime. I'll find, it doesn't matter. But, like, let's be honest. Like, him, Peyton, hell, Ben Roethlisberger, like, QBs are cool. But if you could have once-in-a-lifetime athletes, you're taking the once-in-a-lifetime athlete.
All right. Next up, Jamarcus Russell came into the media this week. He did a podcast basically talking about kind of his legacy and being referred to as a bust. And kind of the tagline, headline, quote, whatever you want to call it. Basically, the thing that caught on was just like, if you're going to call me a bust, call me the biggest bust ever. So, take your tangent on Jamarcus owning his narrative.
Shit, man, Al Davis paid me good. I got enough to take care of my folks, a couple generations, and your folks, too. Like, he said, I can own up to what I didn't do. And he's also right. The Raiders were a trash organization. He had zero help.
They're just coming out of it. And that was 20 years ago.
Like, they passed on Adrian Peterson and Calvin Johnson in the same draft. They passed on Patrick Willis. They passed on Joe Thomas and Larry Fitzgerald, too. This is like a two-year, three-year span.
The thing is, though, like, DeMarcus had the talent to where he probably actually could have put the team on his back and carried them. The issue was he didn't have no resources.
Or infrastructure.
So, yeah, what did you expect him to do? And then he was grieving. He was already big. He was already basically lightning in a bottle. So,
Notre Dame killer.
Was just a bunch of variables that you knew were going to go astray. But shout out to him for owning it.
Yep.
Him and Kwame, again, need to have a podcast.
I would say DeMarcus was made way more talented than Kwame Brown.
But Kwame lasted longer. And actually became like a
yeah, but it's because it's basketball. It's basketball. He only had to do one or two things. But it's not like he was an all-star. Like,
he still played for like
Gilbert Arenas even years. Said it. Like, bro, drank too much. You were an alcoholic. You didn't work hard. And you just managed to hang around. Hell, Sean Bradley hung around for a long time too. But he got dunked on by Tracy McGrady. God bless the dead. There's plenty of dudes who stay in the league forever because they know how to play the game. But, like, DeMarcus was done after 3 years. We ain't never seen nothing like that. No one overall pick, and you disintegrate in 3 years? Even Charles Rogers had a comeback. God bless the dead. Mike Williams had a comeback.
Well, he couldn't even get a workout until he was already out the league, like, 2 years.
Like, he got expedited. He got escorted out the club expeditiously. So,
next up, touchdown or turnover. Kenny, Justin Jefferson said the 2019 LSU team is the greatest ever. Touchdown or turnover?
That's a touchdown. I'm sorry, USC with Reggie Bush didn't have nobody at linebacker running a 4-4 or 4-3. Devin White was a backup. Was he a backup on that team? I don't think he was a starting linebacker.
You mean you wouldn't want
Joe Burrow's Ray
or Lofa or covering one of those slot receivers?
Bro, did you see what Justin Jefferson did to Tanner
Muse? Or Cushing or
Tanner Muse ran a 4-4-2. Did you see what Justin Jefferson did to his ankles? How many linebackers on USC were running 4-4s? One guy.
At least he said it.
Who covering Jamar Chase? Jamar Chase was a sophomore. No, he was a redshirt freshman.
So you're not taking any of the Bama teams, none of the Clemson teams, none of the Georgia teams.
Those Bama teams getting cooked. For that 1 year,
Canes teams.
Okay. You know what? Because Ken Dorsey wasn't really anything as NFL QB. Joe Burrow's much nicer. So if it comes down to it, that's the only glaring weakness. Is running back. And QB. You had a slightly better offensive line. Like, receiver-wise, that's tough, man. I think head-to-head, Miami beats everybody. I think USC will beat one of those Miami teams because Reggie is Reggie. Like, but I think you put Sean Taylor or Reggie Bush. It's a different story.
So there's not even one Alabama team or Clemson team or Georgia team that you're even putting
in the
bracket.
Clemson team that beat Alabama, yeah. That can hang with them. But that LSU team is special, bro. We ain't seen nothing like that. We'll never see anything like that again.
So pretty much you got LSU as the one seed. You got the Clemson team that beat Alabama.
I got that Miami team.
And then you got Miami as the second seed. And then you got... USC as a 3 seed. That's your all-time college football playoff.
I'm giving Miami and LSU first-round buys. UNC's the 3 seed.
All right, moving on. The Big 12 will uphold horns down penalty. I don't know what that is. So touchdown or turnover.
It's a stupid ass thing where like if you go horns down when you score a touchdown, they throw like a 15-yard penalty. And it's only because it's Texas. It's like, wait, so I could do the Florida Gator chomp and have somebody tape my hand shut. No, somebody did that shit. They got away with it. In NCAA football, they have the gator chomp, and then like you keep your hands together, and then you just go, nah, like that shit's done. Like you could make fun of the gator chop. You could do the whole USC fight on for victory in the end zone. Like you could make fun of all other schools, but you can't make fun of Texas and do horns down, especially if you're beating them like 60-3 or some shit. Like, what? And then it's stupider. It's even stupider because now you can't do the horns down for a team that's leaving your conference.
If anything, everybody should. That should have been the Big 12 Media Day logo.
Horns down.
Horns down.
I made an NFT out of that shit. That's just wild to me that, like, bro, it's like, you still telling your friends that your ex-girlfriend who cheated on you was a good person? Are you ready to, like, run the fade on her behalf when she wasn't shit or he wasn't shit?
Triggering.
I'm just like, yo, your ex was trash. Why are you defending her? You don't know like I know her. Bro, fuck that person.
Triggering. All right, next up. Sean Payton is interested in the Cowboys, Chargers, and Dolphins head coaching jobs. Touchdown or turnover?
I'm interested in the Chargers job.
Yeah, I think Staley's got a good hold on that one.
I mean, if he makes
the Cowboys, I could see him going to, coming out of retirement to go to the Cowboys. Yeah. That's where he started. They've always entertained the possibility of getting him.
He would maximize Dak. He would maximize Zeke for sure.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of a turnover because he's been telling us that he's retired, and now all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, I would take those jobs.
I mean, I think he was always going to take a year off.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, because it's Dallas, and he was a Cowboys assistant who got away, I could see it happening. Is McCarthy really going to last another 2 or 3 years in Dallas?
Nah, hell no.
Exactly. Staley might get a benefit just because he's a first-time coach. He'll get another 2 years.
Yeah, he will. And the team's young.
They drop way too many passes, but, you know.
NFL sued by musician Bobby Nunn. Nunn is alleging that the NFL uses song Rock to You in numerous broadcasts without permission. Touchdown or turnover?
Be the first time a musician sued the NFL.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's a touchdown because NFL got bread, bro. You can pay your little syndication licensing cents. It's not that hard. In fact, you could even pay your halftime acts. But keep being cheap.
Yo, you're still on this? It's been 2 weeks. It's been 3 weeks, bro. You're still on this? They don't get paid to do halftime shows. We've been over this.
I know.
Jennifer Lopez was the most expensive, but the weekend came out of
their own
pocket. They pay
for the expenses, though.
Yeah.
All right.
They buy the groceries.
Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield will compete for the starting job, according to Scott Fitter of the Panthers. It's the GM.
It's a turnover for Sam Darnold because they traded Baker Mayfield on his anniversary, on his wedding anniversary. He's in the Bahamas when he found out. No, Baker's great with a chip on the shoulder. Just not like a harness on the shoulder because, you know, and he can't throw and he's injured. But I would take Baker Mayfield over Sam Darnold. It just depends on if, like, that QB degeneration is going to happen. It feels like...
Well, what I was going to say is, honestly, Sam Darnold is good with a chip on his shoulder, too, but I don't know. We've been saying he's going to bounce back the last two seasons.
Statistically, is he?
And it hasn't happened.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I don't know. I think they're kind of similar, but also really kind of different. So, I think it's really going to come down to the chemistry with the receivers and play caller. And Baker Mayfield being new kind of has that in his favor, but Darnold being there and having that continuity should give him some sort of advantage, but I don't know if he'll be able to take advantage of it. All right. Almost there. Drew Brees being targeted by Amazon for QB's only Thursday night football megacast. Touchdown or turnover for Brees? I'm going to say it's a turnover.
Oh, what?
Wait, didn't Brees just get fired because he was boring?
And nobody wanted him?
Yeah.
He wasn't good?
I just think it's funny that Amazon is essentially clout chasing ESPN. By like, oh, they got the Mannings. Let's get a Brees and who else would they get? Randall Cunningham?
They already have Fitzpatrick.
Isn't Fitzpatrick, huh? Sounds like a Barstool show.
I want DJ Shockley.
RG3?
He's actually going to do Monday Night Football. He's taking over Randy Moss's spot.
That's a good role for him, even though he says he still wants to play. But yeah. All right. Last two. Texans revealed a new red helmet, Battle Red. The Bengals are debuting a white and striped helmet.
I see.
Kenny, touchdown or turnover on NFL teams finally embracing helmet changes?
I mean, for the Bengals, it's great. The Texans are just going to suck. They're just going to look nice doing it.
They're going to look like the Houston college team?
They're going to look like David Carr when he first showed up as a Texan. And everybody thought like he was going to be nice. And he still had like a really good Madden rating, like 95 throw power, 87 accuracy. Yeah.
And he was kind of athletic for the time.
He was. He ran like, what, like 4.6, 4.7?
He did?
He ran like probably.
I didn't know he ran that fast.
Probably like a, I think he ran like a 4.8, 4.7. Somewhere in that range. He wasn't as fast as his brother.
All right. Last one. Myles Garrett was seen in Vegas, Summer League, doing layup lines with the Cavs.
Standing 360 windmill dunks.
Yep. And then after that, they also showed him in the gym working out, basically hitting threes with defenders all in his face. So, touchdown or turnover, Garrett as a hooper.
You could play a Draymond Green type role. Definitely. We know he would outwork Zion, but like, I think he would, he'd be like a Julius Randle kind of player. He'd be good for dunk contest, though.
It's just crazy how athletic that man is.
He's, what, 270, 280?
Yeah, it's just like, ridiculous.
Probably 290 with all that goddamn muscle.
It's just ridiculous. Like, even when a couple years ago when he was jumping on all those boxes.
Beating up multiple men at once and ripping off helmets. Myles Garrett is, like,
the one, man.
Like, if Optimus Prime ever turned evil, that's Myles Garrett.
All right, well, let's get to the rants. Kenny, you want to go first?
Yeah, I was going to say prayers up for my grandma. She's had, like, multiple surgeries this week. And she's hanging in. Just thankful she's still here. Late grandma. Shout out to my nephew, Isaiah, trooper. Also... Hey, y'all need to really stop with these gut-wrenching Stranger Things memes. I'm already sad about Eddie Munson. Like, y'all gotta stop. Like, for real, like, it's fuck Vecna gang. Cut all his tentacles off. Like, fuck Vecna. And, like, they better not kill Max. Max fucking better not be dead next season. It's gonna be bullshit. Now we gotta wait a whole year for Stranger Things, and it's coming to an end too. But yeah, also, somebody made a point, like, is David Chappelle really a legendary comedian? I think one of the Wayans brothers, like, were his last specials really that iconic? Or was it just some shit that we were all saying in the 90s? And I'm like, people get comfortable with who they want to elevate. I mean, yeah, he's goated for sure. He's goated. But, like, I saw the one where he talked to the school that he went to, the performing arts school. I was like, oh, shit, new Chappelle. And it was about, like, a 50-minute speech. I was like, that's not really a comedy special. But if he got paid fucking $50 million or $20 million for that 50-minute speech for an award, man's brilliant. So, salute to him. Man, y'all just stay hydrated out here because shit is going crazy. And the president is out here not knowing how to read a fucking teleprompter. But, you know, that's all that shit was like. A fucking Obi-Wan was rough. By the way, that new Thor is not looking too great. I'm going to go see it this weekend.
I just think it's crazy that, like, how are you going to take a shot at Chappelle like that? Like, this man turned down a bag because his comedy was being co-opted for whiteness. He, like, went through a whole spiritual journey over, like, a decade where, like, nobody saw him. I heard from him.
And he didn't want to wear a dress.
And then he still came back, found another way to get a bag on his own terms and a new platform and a new format. And he's still just going to sit there and, like, hate on him? Like, he's not respected by his peers, his, like, broader culture, society? Like,
no, he's loved, but it was more like...
This dude, he's bred... This dude is, like, one of the people who's, like, cool with... Obama and Kanye and like everyone likes Chappelle, bro. Like, I feel like the Wayans are just hating.
Now in this case, like, it was more like, was the lat, like, I think it was,
I get what you're saying. Like
they were
the
great
content?
Specials, but like,
is the content, is it really groundbreaking? That
is it groundbreaking? Is it fucking Eddie Murphy raw? No.
Yes, bro. Because it's nobody's doing stand up comedy like that, bro. Nobody's doing
Paul
stand-up
Mooney,
comedy like that. I'm talking about now.
But
nobody's...
That's what I'm saying. That's the point, is like, shit is so watered down that shit that is like, it's like when John Morant said he would bust Jordan's ass. You know what? A lot of these young cats would bust a lot of dudes' asses from back then because y'all don't have the skill set that they have today.
That's
yeah,
what I'm
you
saying.
You can be physical and beat a motherfucker up on the paint in the 90s and stab him in his kidneys. Because it was 1990s
that's
and the
what
80s,
I'm saying, bro.
And it was okay. But, like, Steph Curry
think about
great in the air.
Think about, like, the, bro, like, when we were growing up, it was, like, the HBO specials. There was the original King of Comedies, the movie, like.
I mean, Steve Harvey really wasn't a king of comedy, but that's all. Bernie Mac was the best one.
But what I'm saying is, right, that was, like, 20 years ago, right? And that was, like, how many comedians? Like, 4 to 6? Right, to carry a 2-hour movie.
It was kind of a political thing.
Chappelle's carrying, Chappelle's getting people that are now used to watching videos on their phone for 10 seconds to sit down and listen to him talk for 50 minutes, bro. Nobody else is doing that right now.
I mean, there are people.
Nobody else is doing that,
bro. Not as funny or great.
Nobody else is doing that. Nobody else.
Bill Burr has been saying some funny shit.
Nobody else.
Funny as fuck.
Nobody else was able to, like, build up a skit show as authentically and as versatile with so much satire as Dave Chappelle.
I mean, they have, but you just don't know who they are.
Not over
Sanford and Sons was pretty much a skit show. Sanford and Sons?
Not over 3 seasons.
Sanford and Sons was pretty much a skit show. Think about that.
It's more of a sitcom, though.
Yeah, but it, like, could have been in the same vein. That's how good that shit was. Family Show is one of the greatest shows on TV of all time.
I don't know. I've heard some controversy about that show, too, though.
I mean, Red Fox. Norman, whatever his face is. Whatever. Bottom line is, There's whole documentaries on that, and like, point is, I understand the sentiment. That
I think
like,
you're just hating because he got $50 million for talking to a school.
I'm not, no.
Because you even broke the group chat, like, bro, you never text the group chat and was like, "Oh, some shit dropped." Like, when was the last time you did that, bro?
It's been a while.
Exactly. Shut the fuck up and don't act excited. That's not
my, I'm still excited. It was still great. And like he said, like the one he got an Emmy for it too, the special in particular. He's like, it's still a masterpiece, and it is a masterpiece, especially with the chick Heather, the transgender woman, and then like all the people who should have been supporting her bullied her to her death. Like that was a crazy twist. But I'm saying, because Cat Williams had a great special too, and Cat Williams predicted a lot of shit years ago that came to pass, like all his jokes about gas, they're all true now. So my thing is, there are dudes who are as cold, if not colder, than Chappelle.
Bro, the Wayans are funny. Don't get me wrong. The Wayans are like, hey, bro,
like, that's all. A royal
especially
family,
especially
because
they've
comedy.
Gotten so much network TV money that it's like
they've had so much of their shit stolen too. Bro, if it wasn't for the Wayans, we wouldn't have gotten Scary Movie 1 and 2. And then they fucked it up and then just made it into 4 horrible movies after that. But the point is, like, I understand the point being made that, like, what he's doing is in the vein of what all the greats before him have done. But because y'all don't want to let motherfuckers be great, you want to judge the art so harshly that people feel the need to change the way they do it, that you're actually killing the art in itself, and you're devaluing what a Chappelle could do if you took that stick out of your ass. Like, imagine if we went back to like uninhibited times in comedy, and guess what? Yeah, if somebody only said racist jokes to get laughs off, eventually they're going to get punched in the face. They're going to get ran down on. Cause like, nah, dude, you're actually really a racist in real life. You just love to like say fucked up jokes about black people and Latinos. And there's plenty of white comics. There's plenty of ass comics, hacky comics out there. But I understand the sentiment that like he was saying in like a little article that was put together. But
all right, so yeah. To my rant.
Go for it.
That was a bit of a tangent, but
It was a good tangent though.
Yeah. My week was crazy. Started my new job. It's been going pretty well so far. Really much better than expected. A lot of opportunity. A lot of flexibility. A lot of access. A lot of the things that I was really looking for. But also, just in general, like PR is a hard game. So it's going to be... It's not going to be without its challenges. Just looking forward to it. In addition to that, major I was at the Summer League again. It's been a couple of years since I was out there, so it was cool. Get out there, hang out with my family. My dad and my sister went, so it was fun. Fortunately, I missed all the players I wanted to actually see and get autographs from, a.k.a. Lillard, LeVar Ball, and Baron Davis. But yeah, man, if you haven't been to the Summer League, I highly recommend it. It's essentially a conference for the entire NBA. So it's good to get out there if you're an aspiring sports journalist and network. And if you're not and you're just a fan, it's also one of the best times to really get access to players and sign some autographs and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, it was a good time. Happy to be back. Happy to get in the swing of things at work. Excited for what's to come. Onward and upward. And, yeah, that's about it. All right, well, thanks for listening to us this week. It was a short show, short and sweet, but we got right into it. You can catch us on touchdownsandtangents.com, TDs_tangents on social media. We're available on all your favorite podcast platforms. Shout out to the X-Squad affiliates and FPC Radio, where you can also find the podcast. And, yeah, hopefully we'll be on time next week. Peace.
Shout out to Marquette King, too.